For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Scott Morgan. The boat launch for Lake Moultrie in the little town of Cross is not a place you would just stumble into finding. It's about as remote and nowhere as somewhere can be in South Carolina these days, but it is where I find who I'm looking for, representatives of Santee Cooper who, in one way or another, deal with the health of Santee's lake system. There are about 450 miles of lakeshore in this system, spread over 160,000 acres, and as we all gather around the fanboat that's about to take us into the heart of it, Casey Mora does a kind of show and tell, a history lesson of the invasive plants she and the rest of Santee's Biological Services group have to keep track of in all that water.
Alligator weed was the first invasive that we had on the Santee Cooper system. We started combating that in the 1940s. In the 50s, along came water primrose. And then here we have hydrilla that began on the system in the late 70s, early 80s. And this lily pad plant right here is a hybrid, actually.
That last one is the new kid on the invasive plants block, the love child of a native floating heart and an invasive crested floating heart that showed up a few years ago.
It's the best and I guess you could say the worst of each of those plants.
As we board the fanboat, fast-moving storm clouds roll in, and with them come the odd sharp gust of wind. Moorer, supervisor of biological services for Santee Cooper, is in the driver's seat. Joining us are Brian Lynch, who's the manager of water systems and environmental resources, and Nicole Aiello, the director of public relations. Our first stop is to an idyllic little cove where we find a plant Moorer didn't have a sample of back at the boat launch, water hyacinth, another invasive in the Santee Cooper Lake system.
It's actually on the state noxious list, so you can be fined for transporting it in the state. But yeah, it has a really pretty flower, so people always see it and they're like, oh, I love that, you know, but it's bad.
Water hyacinth does have a beautiful purple flower. Moorer is just not moved by that argument as a reason to have it.
There's a lot of native plants we'll run over here and look at that are beautiful too. Fragrant water lily, native, beautiful flower. American lotus, beautiful flower, native, you know. And so that's why we try to, when we educate people, is say like, yeah, I know you love the way that water hyacinth looks in your water garden, but let me show you something else that's native, you know, that's just as beautiful.
There is a rather dazzling display of beautiful native plants on this tour of ours. Pale yellow lotus, an equally lush array of lily pads and grasses under the protective shelter of tall cedar trees, and one plant with a jelly-like protective layer that has the best nickname for a water plant you may ever hear.
This is one of my favorite plants. It has this gelatinous, like, protective coating that it puts on the stem and the leaves to protect the plant from, like, herbivory or anything like that. So it's called Water Shield. All the kids love this when we take this kind of stuff to career day.
Slimy.
Yeah. They affectionately, a lot of people call it snot bonnet. I don't know.
There's enough non-native life out here to keep Moorer and the members of her group in steady work for a long time. For cold intolerant plants like water hyacinth, a frosty winter might just take it out. But the Biological Services group needs to keep pressure on the other plants, like much disliked hydrilla. That one gets sterile grass carp sicked upon it, a natural predator with a palate fine-tuned to the plant. And when things get really bad, there are specific and hugely expensive herbicides. But even the invasives have their place in this ecosystem, Moorer says. Many, like water primrose, do provide good habitats for fish. In fact, after she shows a sample of water primrose plucked from a cove, Moorer drops it back into the water.
It's not that aggressive of a grower. We still have open water in here that people can use. People fish in here and they hunt in here as well. And so we like to leave some of this primrose and stuff because it is good fishery habitat.
So it's not about killing all the invasives, which wouldn't happen anyway. It's about managing them, which needs to keep happening.
If no one managed the Santee Cooper system in a way that had a crew that could handle, you know, covering the area and surveying, and a crew that didn't focus on invasive plant management, it would change drastically, and it would change fast, and it wouldn't be for the good.
That's because if left unchecked, any one of these plants we've talked about could take over a lake in a single growing season. Reporting from Lake Moultrie, I'm Scott Morgan for South Carolina Public Radio.